The following is a special 20-minute preview of this episode. You can listen to the full version at patreon.com/mastersofpod.
Glad I got it the right with congratulations for the baby, and it's not like some sort of hostile baby that's invading your house in a couple of months.
Settler colonialist baby.
I was like, probably going to be their baby, but 5% chance there's some sort of horrible boss baby that
has like shown up. The baby's our landlord.
Yeah, and it's like it's reclaiming the room, so I won't be able to do podcasting anymore.
Yeah.
The baby is selling our house out from under us.
Yeah, that's right. It's doing squatters rights.
Yeah. So no, that's good. That's good that you don't have a horrible landlord baby.
No.
Our baby is a property developer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you're a NIMBY. It sounds like it. The baby wants to clear out your house. You know, put up some apartments.
Well, he's converted your uterus into accommodation already.
Yeah. He's trying to move more babies in. He's like subletting.
and he's not paying rent either.
No,
so
that is pretty clever.
He's making free use of the extremely luxurious facilities that I've laid on.
I like the idea of referring to like your own sort of like uterus biome as luxurious facility.
It is good.
Yeah, you know what?
You've compared it to what other women have got going on, and you're like, you know what? This is pretty good.
You know what? I'm pretty proud of this one. It's got good reviews.
Check the Yelp.
Yeah, that would be good if you could get babies just to rate it. How was your stay?
Yeah.
Well, they don't seem to like it coming out. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, they hate being evicted.
Yeah. I'd be like, put me back in.
You're still saying that.
Baby and baby.
That's pretty good. Airbnb, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Short term, that's when you get an abortion. Anyway. Yeah,
short term, but they can do longer term lets.
They can do longer.
That is preferable.
Yeah.
All right, I think that's enough.
That was a nice riff.
I think that's enough.
Little opening riff.
On my womb.
Hello and welcome to Masters of Our Domain, the podcast which is allegedly about the hit 90s sitcom Seinfeld. I'm Milo Edwards, someone who's never seen Seinfeld, and I'm joined, as ever, by my co-host Phoebe Roy.
Hello.
That is all she ever says. And this week, we are joined all the way from to my right in Melbourne, Australia. It's comedian Angus Gordon. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm very good.
You've not been evicted by a baby.
No, is that going to be in the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was a podcast or general chat. Because then you said it's like you haven't been evicted by a baby. I'm like, that's going to sound insane if we don't.
Anything is considered to be in the podcast.
Once you speak into the mic, you're on the record.
I mean, sometimes we say something and we're like, that can't go in the podcast.
Yeah.
But I think that was pretty whimsical and fun.
That was pretty whimsical. And also, because it's like a HIIT workout for the next 24 hours, anything you say to anyone could be included in this podcast.
Milo's put like a little mic on me that I don't know about.
You carry on producing material for a good 24 hours after. That's why it's such an effective workout.
Yeah, that's right. That's what you want. You got to get the juices flowing. I mean, the comedy festival is about to start.
I want to be a husk after this. I want to have no comedic juice left in the body. I want to be bombing at my gig after this. I want to be completely worn out.
Yeah, they drained me. They drained me good and proper.
I want to be useless, unfunny comedy fiber.
Oh, that was me last night.
At Catfish?
I texted another comic asking if he knew any new material spots, and he said, oh yeah, I can put you on the Catfish tonight. And so it's one of those things where we had a conversation where certain things were not directly expressed, such as like I said, new material spots, implying I want to do new material. And he said, I'll put you on at the Catfish tonight, implying that that would be an appropriate place to do new material. But in fairness to him, he never directly said that. What I was sandwiched in the middle of a bunch of people who were rehearsing their gala sets. So it was like an hour of people doing the tightest five they have. And then me in the middle going like, Yeah, do you ever watch daytime TV? Here are some thoughts I have about that. And then people were just like, it's the sort of like, if I'd have done it a new material night, it wouldn't have bombed because people would have been like, yeah, that's there's something in that. You'll tighten that up. But in the context, it just was like, this guy sucks. Is this the best he's got?
I would say I wouldn't ever put you in that position because obviously Catfish, this time of year, you know. Unless you were on first, surely you saw what other people were doing and then adjusted your material.
No, I didn't. Because you were just I was downstairs riding the jokes. And then I just walked up and then they put me pretty much straight on stage. And then I was like, oh, no. And I'm going to say, this is no criticism of them. This is just a misunderstanding. But it was just very funny for me personally. And then on the way out, he was like, tough stuff up there, mate. And I was like, it was. It was tough stuff up there.
I like the fact that, yes, you said new material and he said, yes, I'll put you on. But he never actually said, this is a new material night. Sounds like one of those sort of very complicated, like kind of Tales of the Arabian Nights riddles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you have to say to the djinn that you specifically want a new material night. Otherwise, you end up just going, baby, is that anything? Is that, yeah.
It's what my parents used to say doing business in China was like. You had to be incredibly specific with what questions you asked and what requests you made because they would take everything you said precisely, literally, to like an insane degree. Like if you said, I've lost my keys, they would help you look for your keys for hours before revealing that they had keys. Like stuff like that, like level, because they're like, well, you asked me if I could help you find your keys. You didn't ask me if I had keys to the door. Like that level of kind of like, it's just a different plane of thought entirely.
Interesting. Everyone in China is autistic, is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that, but for the purposes of the riff, we could say that.
For the purposes of the riff, and I believe that this is a paywalled episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grand.
And fine. If you look at their level of steel production.
Just to be clear, it is also 6:15 in the morning for me. So you can't hold me responsible for anything that I have to say for
myself. And I should also be clear, this is a culturally Chinese phenomenon, not an ethnically Chinese phenomenon. There's no racial element to this. It's purely like people who are Chinese but didn't grow up in China will not have this characteristic.
Oh, there's nothing better than being obliged to spend 5 minutes explaining why your riff was not a racist riff.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's my favorite. That's what you should have done at the Catfish.
I should have done.
You should have spent 5 minutes explaining why a completely unrelated riff that none of them had heard was in fact fine.
That's always a dark place you don't want to go to in stand-up comedy, finding yourself in the position of explaining why the riff you did was fine.
It's like the Queen said, never explain, never complain. Just do your dirty material.
She was always on Comedy Unleashed, the Queen.
She was one of the writers for Frankie Boyle.
Say I've got a haunted vagina.
It'll kill Frankie.
That'll fuck him up. It's okay, I give you the pass.
That's what they call the royal blue.
Yeah. The Queen told me I could see it. She said, it's fair, it is haunted. Yeah.
She said the Empire died up there.
Yeah, a lot of people go to Glasgow.
That's where the sun set on the British Empire.
But Frankie Ball's from like, he's from like Dundee or Falkirk or somewhere. He's from like up there a bit, where they have that slightly more sing-songy accent. Yeah. The further north you go in Scotland, the more it becomes a bit kind of like fiddle-dee-dee.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure what the right term was.
And if you look at the space between his earlobe and his nostril, you can see that he's ethnically Irish.
I love the idea of just like moving, like a conversation about how like different people in different parts of the world have different accents, and all of the people we're talking about are white, to like race science somehow.
Yeah.
Like just but like doing phrenology within Scotland. Like you're just comparing, like, oh, well, you've got the Glaswegian brain pan, and then you've got like the Fife brain pan.
And it's really good to go for the Scots who are famously good at taking jokes about themselves from English people. Famously. Oh,
yeah. It's their favourite thing to do.
Absolutely. They love it. They love it.
Yeah. And look, if there's probably Scottish people listening to this. England, we've got our own fair share of fucked up accents.
Yeah.
I'm not going to enumerate them because, let's be honest, that can also be controversial. But you know who I'm talking about.
We've got some fiddle-dee-dears.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say who.
No, we're not going to say who's fiddling that D, but we know.
What is this, the BBC in the 1970s? You won't say?
Yeah, there was just a lot of people with weird accents. Now, to be fair, Jimmy Savile had a weird accent.
He did have a weird accent.
I mean,
it's not. That's not in the top. It's not in the top 10, I think.
I thought you were going to suggest that he wasn't in the top 10 of famous British paedophiles, which I was going to be like, that's actually possibly true, but you'd really have to make the case.
That would be like an amazing 2000s like countdown show. Britain's top 10 pedos.
Hosted by Danny Dyer.
And you've got different talking heads coming on. Yeah, he was a right nonce.
This is the thing. He was banned from
McDonald's.
Would you do it like Danny Dyer's Danny Dyer's Deadliest Men, or would you do it like remember those like I Love 1999 programs where they'd get like Andrew Marr on to talk about how he was like a massive fan of Bewitched.
Yeah, they've got like Fool's Gold playing in the background.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah,
everyone were a nonce in the '90s. It were Manchester.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're like, who's that guy? And it says like editor of GQ 1992 to 1994.
It's a guy called like Piers Cassas or something.
Yeah.
You're like who is that?
Omar Jalili's on it.
For some reason.
Omar Jalili like doing a voice for like no appreciable reason. Yeah. Yeah, you're almost surprised when you hear Omid Jalili not doing a voice. You're like, oh, you just have like a BBC voice. You've just spent your life doing a voice.
It's actually very sad. Omid Jalili once offended a wood elf, and that's why he has to do the voice. It's a curse. It's actually not funny at all.
Top tier Phoebe deadpan opening to a bit there. I thought you were going to actually tell some sad story about Omid Jalili having to cover up his sort of actually quite erudite Iranian background as a kind of like, you know, sort of ethnic clown. But no, you got my ass.
No, unfortunately.
Once
not,
again.
No. Just a classic Roy bit there.
So we're talking about Seinfeld. It is the episode is called The Burning. I'm just pulling up the actual episode number.
It is episode 16.
Season 9, episode 16, The Burning.
The Burning.
Yeah. This was a fun episode.
I'm so excited to talk about this one because it's one of my faves. I think it's one of the best Elaine storylines we've got going, certainly in the later series. It was screened on the 19th of March, 1998.
Okay.
And
what happened
for all you
day?
Francis Fukuyama heads out there?
Oh hell yeah!
Yeah, there are no entries on this day.
History was over.
History was over on the 19th of March, 1998. The only piece of information that I could find out of this day is what the number one singles were in both America and the UK. Do either of you care to hazard a guess what those might have been?
What was the date again? It was
19th of March, 1998.
19th of March, 1998. Spice Girls have got to be a safe bet in the UK.
Not in 1998.
Too late?
Yep. Star is already waning by then.
I guess 96 is like peak Spice Girls.
96 to 97 is peak Spice Girls. They really were only in charge for like a year. They're like a kind of...
In charge?
Yeah, they're like a kind of like, you know, one of those like really, really kind of like significant but surprisingly short-lived kind of like post-Soviet revolutions.
They were relieved of their command like Douglas MacArthur in the
Korean War. Yeah, exactly.
Like the Spice Girls, they're not equipped for this kind of more modern.
Exactly. Yeah, the head of the CIA stepped in and fucking dealt with them.
Yeah.
By March 98.
Yeah. I mean, they claim that the Spice Girls were shot from one specific angle, but if you look at the ballistics, it just doesn't add up.
Well, I think Jerry left in 99 and was already solo by that. I didn't know how much I knew about the history of the Spice Girls.
But Jerry left to negotiate the Good Friday peace accords, right, with the British?
She did, yeah, she did. Yeah.
It was Jerry Adams for the Spice Girls.
Well, because they needed a ginger English person to sort of provide a kind of bridging.
Well, we know Jerry Adams is an eccentric individual. He insisted on having another Jerry. He said, I won't talk to anybody who's not called Jerry.
It's going to be a Jerry-on-Jerry negotiation.
Exactly. Yeah. Jerry-on-Jerry negotiation, just to make things even. You know what? You could guess for a million years. You'd never get it. It's in the States. It was Getting Jiggy With It by Will Smith.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that feels earlier to me. I would have guessed 1998? That was like a pre-95. Okay.
Oh,
right.
No. Well, in 95, that's still peak Fresh Prince. He's not.
Yeah, he was doing music like during and before the Fresh Prince, though, right?
He was, but it was ancillary to his Fresh Prince activities. Yeah.
His ancillary music.
Part of his royal duties were to do kind of inoffensive novelty rap.
Okay. Yeah.
Actually, that's not fair to call Will Smith a novelty rap. It's just a very particular kind of.
It is. I think it is quite. It does have a sort of novelty because it's
does
clean.
Have a novelty rap. It's very. It's very clean. Apart from getting jiggy with it, which, as far as I'm concerned, is disgusting.
Yeah. Absolutely vile.
Absolutely vile.
Will Smith and his
vile
sexual
song.
Overtones.
Yeah, really.
It's fun to do like clean rap, but it would still be offensive to the people who hate rap. So there's no point. Like. It's like you think of the most like inoffensive rap song you can imagine, but the people who irrationally hate rap music would still hate it. Like the rhythms and the would still be offensive.
Just
to
like
them.
Ah, no, hate it.
Yeah, and even getting jiggy with it would really take them.
And
for
in
a loop.
The UK, it was It's Like That by Run DMC. I don't know if you remember this song, Marley.
Oh, yeah.
You might be
able to. Like that. It's the way it is.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. Interesting that was number one in the UK at the time, but not the US, given that it's sort of US.
Yeah, I'm not sure how popular it was in the US.
Yeah. I mean, Run DMC was certainly popular in the US, but maybe that wasn't a...
But, well, this was a kind of Run DMC revival. This was Run DMC and Jason
Yeah, because they're more
Nevins,
like early 90s. Or
who
like
was just
80s.
This? Who was just this guy in... Yeah, like Run DMC were like big in like the late 80s, like late 80s, like early 90s. And then in 98, they had this sort of one bit of revival with this guy called Jason Nevins, who was just this guy in a hoodie.
Oh, okay.
It's like
when they get a song that's like on Red Nose Day for some reason, and then it's like number one.
Yeah, like it had been in an episode of Friends, so suddenly people were. They got
Do you have Red Nose Day in Australia? Is that a?
Yeah, but not the same as you see, like have TV shows about it and stuff.
Right. Okay.
Well, I think here was just like something at a primary school, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You like to do it a bit more low key.
It's more low key.
You don't make a big. You don't make a big thing.
We don't. We donate to charity, but we don't fucking go on about it.
Yeah.
You know.
You don't fucking.
We don't.
Andrew Marr is not involved.
Yeah, the whole Red Nose Day isn't to cover up like our burgeoning alcoholic culture. You know.
Yeah. That's right. Well, yeah. You know, when I bring up is there a Red Nose Day in Australia, I was waiting for it to be like, yeah, but it's actually like a far right.
It's a dog whistle.
It's a thing we've had to stop doing.
Yeah.
Because if you look up the origins, like it seems like a fun, you know, where like, you know, James Corden comes in and teaches the Australian rugby team something. But actually it was a really dark day in Australian history.
Mm. Yeah. If that was true, we'd definitely be doing it more. Yeah. We'd be celebrating. They'd be like, you can't even do Red Nose Day anymore.
Change the date, but it's for Red Nose Day.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Run DMC. There you go. There are like those weird like songs that like, you know, like for example, like Sting is massive in Russia. Like they love Sting, but the song that they love is Shape of My Heart. Like you'd just be in a taxi in Moscow and you'd just be constantly hearing Shape of My Heart by Sting.
Shape of My Heart goes.
Yeah. But it's one of the second tier Sting songs in Britain, I would say. It's not the
If someone said if someone just said, name a Sting song quickly, what would you go with?
What, are we including The Police? Because I feel like most of his most famous songs are The Police.
You can include The Police, I don't care.
Yeah, I think it's Every Breath You Take, probably. Top?
It's Roxanne.
Roxanne, I mean, also a very sensible answer.
It's not Every Breath You Take, it's Roxanne. Every Breath You Take is lower.
Is The Englishman in New York a police song? That's what I would go with, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting, because you like travel.
I like travel, and I like being an alien.
Thanks for checking out the free preview of this episode. You can listen to the full episode at patreon.com/mastersofpod.